I've been saying it for a while now. This might be the most optimistic I've ever been about an objectively bad team. I want to get the intelligent fan view on what this season feels like, because it's been a rather bizarre ride. So today, along with John Krasinski here on the John Krasinski Show, and me, Jim Suhan, we also have our friend Steve Terry from TSR Injury Law, who knows the Timberwolves very well, knows the key players, and has been riding this roller coaster right along with us. Again, this is the John Krasinski Show, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see all of the shows as they are released. Best way to listen, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. Thank you, of course, to TSR Injury Law, also to Manscaped, manscaped.com. Steve, you know, John and I have been talking about this team for a long time. We haven't had you on a little while here. What is the intelligent fan view of what's going on with the Timberwolves? Because, listen, they still have a terrible record, and they might be playing themselves out of a top three pick. And yet, I have a sense of optimism about next year that I haven't had in a while about this team.
Well, first of all, I really appreciate you using the words intelligent fan and Steve Terry in the same conversation.
Well, somebody had to set a precedent.
So I appreciate that. You know, it is weird times. It's like, you know, so many people call and text and they're just like, oh, my God, we're going to lose the pick. And holy mackerel, I think we have a coach who's competent. You know, so it's like we're torn because we want to win and everyone's latching onto the Suns of last year. You know, they won eight in a row, and, you know, you feel like that momentum. Now, of course, they did add Chris Paul, which I think probably helped them this year, if that'd be an understatement. But so it's like, it's Dr. Heckle and Mr. High, because it's like, we want the number one pick. We don't want to feel like we got screwed by Golden State, but yet we want to win, and we want Ant to keep going, and we want to build this synergy. And so it's, I don't know, it's strange times. I think I'm on the side of let's just win and do the best we can, and, you know, the basketball gods will do what they're going to do.
And John's been talking about that. John and I have been talking about that for a long time here. I'm on board with trying to get the, as you called it, synergy, the cohesiveness, which is such a key in the NBA that a lot of people who think it's all about just stars and talent don't really buy into. You got to be able to play well together. And if Russell and Towns aren't going to play well together, if they aren't going to have the opportunity to build something here while they're both healthy, then I don't know that the next pick would be the savior you hope. But let's take it from the expert. This is the John Krasinski Show. John, tell us what you're thinking right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've discussed it a little bit, but I just do think that the Wolves needed to show that there was some sort of possible success to be had with this core, with Karl-Anthony Towns, with D'Angelo Russell, and now with Anthony Edwards working his way in to that group. Because the simple fact of the matter is that going into next season, there likely are not going to be major changes to the roster itself, other than, let's say, they do get lucky and get a top three pick. I mean, obviously adding someone like that is a major change, you know, but outside of that, you look at kind of what their contract situation is, what the age of their players are. Like, these guys are going to stay together. D'Angelo Russell isn't going anywhere. Karl-Anthony Towns isn't going anywhere. And so there's not going to be this sea change type of roster situation that they did, you know, last year before the trade deadline. And so if that's going to be the case, if you're going to roll with the people that you have in place here, showing that there is some kind of light at the end of the tunnel, that if everyone is healthy and playing together and playing in a system that they like, that they can win some games, I think that's really important to what they want to do. And there was always going to be, even if we're in the top three, there's going to be a 60% chance that they were going to lose that pick anyway. And so you have to look at it that way. The other thing, guys, if you watch any of the game against the Magic on Sunday night, do you know how bad they would have had to bend to dump that game? Like, Orlando, the team that they are putting out there, and you may see the same thing with Detroit tomorrow night, the teams that are being put out there are, I mean, Big Ten level, like not G League level, like Big Ten level teams. And so, like, that's the real kind of thing that you also have to factor in here is, like, they would just have to be god-awful to dump some of these games. Now, you know, the wins over Utah and Golden State and a few others, I mean, you know, hey, they played really well and they deserve those wins. But these ones against the other tankers, I mean, it's a, you know, it's blatant. And so I just think there's only so much that they can do right now while trying to get some sort of confidence and momentum going into the offseason.
I mean, Detroit and Orlando are not messing around. I mean, they're, you know, they have a very clear goal. They have no, they are very determined to get the as many balls as they can get, and that makes sense.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, how, you know, the problem with tanking is that it has worked just often enough to make it sound like a sound strategy. The San Antonio Spurs tanked expertly. But how many players have been really worth tanking for to really throw away a season, and how many teams have been able to kind of pull that off to be just bad enough to get a player that you can then quickly build around to justify the whole strategy? You know, I love Suggs, I love Cunningham, but is it worth it for, as John said, just for a slight percentage chance difference? I would rather see the team play well right now, but we probably killed that. Hey, you know what? Before we started talking here, the topic of Jimmy Butler came up. I want to get to that before we get back to the Timberwolves. A reminder, we keep expanding here at TalkNorth.com. I now have a show, Blocked and Muted, with Jim Suhan. Mike Vec was my last guest. A lot of fun talking to him. You can find that at TalkNorth.com. Also, we've added Lavelle Neal III to our baseball show, Chin Music. So it's Roy Smalley and Lavelle Neal. That's a fun show. Check that out as well at TalkNorth.com. All right, let's talk about, Steve, I'm just going to leave the floor to you, Jimmy Butler.
Well, I can't really say what I want to say because I think that this is all a PG-13. But, I mean, he's a punk. You know, he's a bully. What I find really interesting, and actually I think Britt might have said something on a podcast, or maybe he wrote it or something, I'm not exactly sure. But what's really cool about this is Cat getting attacked. By the way, the call Rachel Nichols, oh my God, top five response of all time. I love that. But beyond that, think about this. Like, you know, if you have brothers, sisters, or whatever, and they're being bullied, and then you kind of come to their – I mean, Ant basically kind of put himself in between here and was like, hey, this is just grown man talk. I mean, and what he does – because Ant seems like he's built both physically and mentally more to get into it with Jimmy, like this type of confrontation. Cat is just not that dude. I mean, it, you know, not that, you know, a physical fight or something like that, but he's just not really wired that way. Ant seems to be a little bit more wired to get a little bit dirty and kind of fight back that way. And so it was nice for him to kind of come in and just basically put his body in between and say, hey, this is just grown man talking, no big deal. And if you got problems, you know, just – I mean, he's basically saying, if you got issues, you know, you're going to come through me. And he's 19 years old. So imagine 20, 21, you know, when he's 24, you can kind of see where the progression's going. And that type of mentality is, like I've said this many a time, and quite frankly, I like Jimmy when he came to the Wolves before I kind of figured out what was going on. But I like the kind of player who is more like, you know, Kobe and KG. And it's like, hey, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to do it, and I'm going to tell you how I did it to you. And I think Ant is more like that, and he kind of was protecting his big brother Cat, which was really cute, but I think that that does bode well for the future. So Jimmy being Jimmy, and it's like, you know what, he had lost to the Wolves, what, three or four times in a row, and now all of a sudden he's talking smack because, five. You know, yeah. They, yeah, it's like, come on, man. I mean, don't you got anything? And by the way, Cat and Jimmy have the same exact number of championship rings, zero. So why don't you shut, you know what, and let's move on. That's my thought.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that's – The takeaway, Steve, that I had from it as well is similar in terms of, like, we have seen, you know, Anthony Edwards throughout the season kind of be, you know, he's 19 years old. He is so raw in terms of being a player and a prospect, and just kind of, he's just out there playing and just learning about what the heck is going on in this league and how to handle things on the fly. But there is sort of a natural charisma and savvy to him that is beyond his years. And that moment with Cat the other night after Miami was the latest and biggest sign of that in terms of, you know, what Anthony Edwards knows in, you know, he can say he didn't know who A-Rod was. And I believe him that he didn't know who A-Rod was, but like he has this kind of youthful naivete to him a little bit about the past. And he's just kind of looking at what's happened in front of him, but he does know the whole drama with Jimmy Butler. and he knows that situation, and he knows what Karl Anthony Towns is comfortable doing and is uncomfortable doing. And one of the things that Kat never wanted to do while Jimmy was here, and certainly since Jimmy has left, is to get down into the gutter with him and have the mudslinging. You know, I can tell you during that whole circus why he was here and orchestrating his way out, for Kat to start throwing the same sort of barbs Jimmy's way and Tibbs's way that Tibbs and Jimmy were throwing at him. Like, that's what everyone was waiting for. It was like you had the popcorn in your hand and you're saying, this is going to drama, this is going to be the NBA style, and it's going to be back and forth, and it's going to be ugly, and everyone's going to kind of delight over it like you're, you know, watching a train wreck right in front of you. And Carl knew that, and he's like, I am going to give in to that. I'm not playing this game of be that guy. And he kind of said it again against Orlando last night after the Orlando game. He kind of hinted at that. He just like said, you know, I've had so many opportunities over the years to downgrade my teammates, to talk bad about the organization, to do all of those things, and I've never done it. And basically saying, I've been the anti-Jimmy. And he's right in that. And so what Anthony Edwards has known is that Kat does not want to step into the ring that way. He wants to hold himself above it. And Jimmy said that, and back and forth, and play tennis that way. So Ant stepped right in and said, I'm going to take this and I'm going to defuse the whole situation right now. And, you know, he was very emphatic and just said, that's grown men talk, and it's just a bunch of bleep talking. And that's, you know, and if you don't think that we do that as competitors, you know, I don't even know, you know, essentially it's like, you know, what game are you watching? And so you could just see him kind of steer things away from Kat. And it was the kind of sense of timing and then the execution of it that is usually reserved for players much older that have been in the league and had much more experience handling these things. And Ant handled it like an absolute champ. And so that those kind of moments are the ones that you look at and you say, you know, he's not just a star on the court. This guy has what it takes off the court to be, you know, kind of that galvanizing presence, the guy who lifts everyone up and carries them along with him. And you could see that Kat in that moment, as much as Kat sees himself as the big brother to Anthony Edwards, he also very much appreciated Ant stepping in right there. And that kind of, you know, moment really kind of forges an even greater bond between the two most important players on this team. And so I think that's going to help them going forward. But, you know, there's not enough stock in the world on Anthony Edwards for me to buy. Like, I just think that what we have seen since the All-Star break, in all manner of speaking, is a player that's going to be, you know, among the best in the league, you know, within 3 or 4 years time, in terms of just being elite and being able to handle himself the right way. It's been really impressive.
What's really cool about this is, I mean, Ant's personality is the alpha personality, and he's 19, and he is already kind of leading the team. It's insane. I mean, his play is phenomenal. And, you know, by the way, rookie of the year, that conversation should be over. We can talk about that later. But anyway, but his personality is perfect. And what's interesting about Kat is people want Kat to be like that. And that's not how he's wired. And so a lot of criticism for Kat is usually not about his play, because he's a one of one in terms of his size and what he can do. But they wanted him to mix it up or kind of say things or whatever. And then, so that's why he does get this reputation. And the media and all the people on Twitter, you know, they're like, oh, he doesn't say things right. And he's, you know, I'm trying to think, like, he overthinks everything and he's trying to say what he thinks we want him to say. Like, he gets criticized for just being who he is. Ant is the opposite. And it's so funny. I was talking to my wife. I have certain friends who, like, they could come over to our house and drop a deuce right in the middle of the floor, and my wife would be like, oh my goodness, oh, we better clean that up. Like, there are certain friends that can do no wrong. And this is how Ant is right now with everybody. Like, he says crazy things. The way he speaks is like a 19-year-old from Georgia. And that's very different than how people in Minnesota speak. It's more like how I grew up in Detroit, and I love it. And people aren't holding it against them. They're like, oh my God, Ant is so real, and he's this and that. And it's just really fascinating how you look at in their careers how they are already perceived and how protective people are of Ant and how critical they were of Kat. And now you have the big brother, little brother, but it's kind of flipped and how it's coming together. And it's all really positive going forward, in my opinion.
Yeah, Steve, and I think go ahead,
John. Yeah,
I think the one thing, like, to see the interesting discourse around this too is like there you hear it when Ant has a really good game, or even after that Ant Jimmy, Kat kind of exchange, there's this kind of discussion on social media and stuff of, hey, trade Kat, build around Ant, like this is Ant's team, just go forward. And it's just like, I always try to pump the brakes here, because it's like, do you know that in the Western Conference especially, you need two really good players or three or four before you're ready to compete? And if people cannot see like how the two of them really do mesh together in so many ways, like that's why I would be completely against even thinking about breaking those two up right now, because I do think their games and their personalities mesh so well that the chance of a long-term success is really there. I mean, Ant, you're right. He has that different kind of mentality. He's a guy, you put the ball in his hands late in games. He can get to the rim. He's really kind of plays with force. And is dynamic. Kat is more of a technician and more of a finesse player, but he's incredibly gifted. And he's playing much better defense lately as well, which helps. But then the personalities off the court, they go hand in hand. The reason that Jimmy and Kat didn't work wasn't because of their games at all. I mean, if they would have gotten along, that team would have been tremendous. But they didn't get along, and that's why it turned into such a dumpster fire. And so that's why I'm all for this new tandem with them. It's because it doesn't have to be one or the other. You can have both of them, and they can complement each other to such a degree that they can become a really hard pairing to deal with.
Good stuff. Steve, tell us about TSR Injury Law, and then get ready to giggle as John tells us about Manscaped.
Yeah, no, I mean, the one thing I will say is it's nice out, so now people are on motorcycles. I drive a motorcycle. I don't know why I do. It's the dumbest thing I do, just because it's not safe. But it is my one chance to kind of get away from the phone and put on my helmet and not have to deal with anybody. But unfortunately, now we're getting lots of calls, and people are not keeping an eye out, and they're pulling out in front of motorcycles, they're running them off the road, they're doing all kinds of stuff. And obviously when people are on motorcycles and crashes occur, it's bad injuries. And so they call us and we do our best to help them out. So I'll just say that, we appreciate the business, but we don't need it. So just, today's story is, please keep an eye out for motorcycles, be safe, give them space. But if you, if you're on the bike and no matter what you do and you do your best efforts and you still, something bad happens, just give us a call at 612-TSR-TIME and we'll do our best to help you.
Excellent. Now, John, make Steve blush.
Breaking news. This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your pubic service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the USA and Canada. The new trimmer was just released moments ago, and we are one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free world code athletic at manscaped.com. What makes this trimmer different from all other trimmers? A new multifunction on-off switch can engage a travel lock created for people who like to travel. The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn on the 4,000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. The new trimmer even allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. And looks wise, it's sleek with a two-toned matte and gloss finish, even features a Hot foil, loud and proud. The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is waterproof, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on the bathroom floor. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the promo code ATHLETIC.
Next time we have Steve on.
Better and better. I love it.
Next time we do this, we'll have Steve read it.
Oh man. Please, please.
Hey, oh, hey, send me that Lord. Big check that John's getting. I'll read it.
Oh man. All right, I need a moment to recover. All right, I'm back. Okay, so you both know Timberwolves people very well from different perspectives. Starting with Steve, then John, tell me what the mood is around this franchise and what the level of optimism is that they might actually for once be on the right track. Steve, you first.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to go to the Utah game where they were letting some fans back in. Jake got me in. He didn't hang out with me though. Apparently, he just gets me in the door, puts me in there, and then leaves me. But we won't hold that against him. But it was interesting because there is a lot of optimism. And what was really cool is to actually have some fans in the stands. Is it really did make a difference? I had gone to the New Orleans the Hornets game right before the All-Star break, which was a horrific game, but there's no fans in there except a couple family members. And then compare that to Utah, which obviously was a win, so it made it more fun, but just having fans in there was fun. By the way, I think if you want to see Ant do some stuff, wait till the fans get behind him. Like he's going to be jumping even higher. It's unbelievable, but people are really excited about the future. I find the rookie of the year chatter really interesting within the organization because they're all looking, they really want to be validated that they made the right choice. And I think everyone agrees, at least for the Wolves, that they made the right choice, which is a great feeling because, you know, there's nothing worse than, you know, you have the top pick and you blow it, you know, pick Tibet or somebody like Memphis did back in the day or whatever it was. So I think everyone's very positive going forward. The last thing I'll say about it is, you know, when the coaching change happened in the kind of the middle of the year, and I think everyone agreed it was uncomfortable at best, that because it seems to be working and they're building momentum, it's almost as if it never happened. It's just completely washed under. It's like, oh, yep, and we just move on. And so that's actually interesting that, you know, you got to give Gersan credit for saying, hey, you know, he made the decision and he was right, both on the coach and on Ant.
Yeah. John?
Yeah, it's there's certainly, I think, a sense of relief that sort of washed over the Wolves front office organization, even the coaching staff and things right now, because there is starting to see those signs that, hey, things may be working out for them. When you have Russell and Kat together, guess what? D'Angelo plays a heck of a lot better than he looked earlier in the season when Kat was not with him and the team was just terrible. Anthony Edwards has made a run at Rookie of the Year. And yes, you see the LaMelo Ball highlights every single day on Twitter. But if you watch closely, I think that you can make a strong argument. And even if he doesn't win Rookie of the Year, which I think Ball will probably still get it, you still see a player that you can build a franchise around. And that's the most important thing. And they feel really good about that. Chris Finch has done a really good job after that messy entrance, as Steve said. So all of those things are kind of going in their favor as they go down the stretch here. And I do think that there is just kind of a little bit of excitement, you know, like Steve was saying in that New Orleans game, kind of earlier on in the game, Edwards was out on the wing and he had Zion right in front of him and the whole place stood up and it was going crazy. And then Edwards drilled a three right in Zion's face. And I mean, there were not a ton of people there. There were maybe 3,000 people in there, but it was loud in there and it was exciting. And you can see that Edwards has this magnetism that people are going to get behind and people are really going to like. So that's all very, very good. Now, I will caution that we have seen this team have good stretches in the past that have not turned out into greatness in the future. And, you know, as much as I really do kind of admire their willingness to not tank and to keep playing hard and treat the game with the respect that it deserves down the stretch, they still could very much use a top three pick. I mean, they still need more talent on this roster. And so if they were to lose that pick, that's a big, big loss for them. That really does hurt their ability to kind of capitalize on this momentum. But I will just say that, you know, right around the All-Star break, when they had gotten blown out going into the break, Chris Finch had just come in and it wasn't really working immediately. You know, D'Angelo Russell was still out. Like, there was a lot of tension crackling through that building, a lot of it. And I think some of that has abated for the moment, at least. And I think there are people who are kind of walking around breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief and saying, hey, we at least have something that we can market, that we can build on, that we can go into next season expecting to be much better. And so that's a very good thing.
I know we're running out of time, but real quick, I just wanted this LaMelo Ball. Do you know who, what his average is, who he's similar to shooting wise?
Percentage wise or?
No, point wise. Cole Anthony. Yeah. Anyone looking at Cole Anthony like, oh my God, this is rookie of the year. I mean, seriously, like I get it. He tells a nice pass and, you know, like they show the pass like no one's ever done it before. And then he has 11 points. It's like, I mean, yeah. Come on. I mean, it's like, I just don't understand. And this is national. This is not just the little Twin Cities bubble. I know we're all like, hey, we want Ant to win or whatever to justify how great of a choice we made. But it just is ridiculous. Like, I'm glad he can make a pass. And they're quite phenomenal. But that's all you ever see. And then they don't talk about the fact that he has 11 points, you know, or whatever it may be. It's like, just as Kat said, you don't see people double teaming LaMelo. Okay, and by the way, what happened to actually having to play the games? If I remember correctly, Halliburton's out, LaMelo's out. Like, if they're soft and they can't make it through an entire season because their bones are going to break, how is that Ant's problem? Ant plays every game. He is a leader. What are we even talking about here? This makes no sense to me.
the point of Edwards playing every game is absolutely valid, 100%, especially in this season where so many players are going out, where it's been such a grind for Edwards to go through the whole thing. That's a huge, huge feather in his cap. Absolutely. And also, if you look at the record of the Hornets, because everyone, the trump card that everyone puts is, well, the Hornets are in the playoffs, and look at what LaMelo Ball has done for them. If you look at how they did with LaMelo and without LaMelo when he was out for 20 games, strikingly similar. So maybe he's not having the effect on wins that people are assuming just because, look, yeah, the passes are unbelievable. And you get, you know, those 10-second highlights on Twitter, you know, three times per game, and you say, wow, this is great. And then there are the nights where he was 1-for-10 the other night against Chicago. Now, in fairness, he had 27 and 6 assists against Orlando the other night. Orlando's terrible. 22 against New Orleans. So he has his moments, and he's had a good season. But I agree that any notion that this is a cakewalk for LaMelo, that it's no question, those are the people who watched Anthony Edwards early on in the season come off the bench, kind of try to find his footing and haven't watched him in this at post All-Star break when, by the way, the Timberwolves have actually been winning more games than Charlotte has.
Right. He's out for Charlotte. They're still winning.
Yes.
Can you imagine taking Ant off the Wolves? Like, Detroit and Orlando would have nothing on our record if Ant had not played all year. I mean, it's like, it's not even close. And the other thing about LaMelo, it's like, it's not hating on LaMelo. Like he is so much better than I think, you know, better than the Warriors thought. I mean, and by the way, where's the Warriors hate? Like, they draft, like, you know, can you imagine if the Wolves took Wiseman number 2 and passed on LaMelo? Like, you would never hear the end of it. But when it's the Warriors, it's like, oh, they're still brilliant and Wiseman's going to come back and be Magic Johnson. It's like, man, I'm sick of all these people. It's like certain franchises, it's like the friend taking the deuce in my house. They can do no wrong. Oh, we'll just clean it up. No problem. The Wolves hit on it, and all of a sudden, it's like, let's just give the man his props. Ant is the man, and he should be Rookie of the Year. And quite frankly, all these other people they don't know what they're talking about.
Maybe
they do, but I'm not going to admit it.
Preach, Steve Theory.
Good stuff. I appreciate you coming on, Steve. It's always fun to talk to you. I'm going to give each of you a chance, final thought about anything in the world. I guess it's basketball, but you feel free to go afield if you like. I want to thank our producer, Brandon Morton. Also, if you'd like to advertise with this show or a network as we grow, You can reach former Twins executive Karen Cleary at KCLEARY@talknorth.com. Thanks to everybody who listens to Talk North. We do appreciate it. All right, Steve, let's go John, and then we'll give Steve the final word.
John, don't take my topic. Don't take my topic.
I hope I won't. I won't. I'm just going to say that, hey, you know, I think as many Wolves followers had questions about how is this D'Angelo Russell thing going? It just did not seem to be getting any traction earlier on, especially when Cat was out. He did not seem to be like a player who uplifted the rest of his teammates. He is still making a ton of money. That's absolutely true. But you look at the way that he has played of late and you start to see, okay, this is what they were thinking they were getting when they made the move that they did. You know, last seven games, 18.9 points, 9.1 assists, shooting 36% from three. He's been better than that, but he has a command of the offense. He's looking for others. He's getting himself involved. He is really, really playing well, and it's clear that he and Chris Finch are on the same page. He has already a lot of respect for Finch that he did not have for Ryan Saunders, and so that bodes well for them going forward in the future. If they can get this D'Angelo Russell consistently next year, that really changes a lot of their outlook, because earlier on in the season, it was not looking good, and at least there is some sort of breadcrumbs that are taking us down the trail of, hey, maybe this guy can be an impact player for them, at least offensively.
Steve?
That was not my topic, thank goodness. Good. Okay.
I knew it wouldn't be.
So I have two quick things. One, I want to go back to Jimmy and his fake thugness. We have seen the video where I think it was maybe Jordan McLaughlin came up and like put his hand on Jimmy's hip and he just fell over like someone has shot him with a shotgun. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's that flop, yeah. Yep.
Right. I mean, that's like top five flop of all time in the history of the NBA. It's so ridiculous. And you just – so for a player to do that and then act like they're tough, like have you ever seen Michael Jordan do that? Or Kobe Bryant? Or like, you know, other players who, you know, who Jimmy thinks he is? It's like that is the true Jimmy. Like he could be like, oh, I'm just being competitive. Can you imagine if Cat did that, what Jimmy would say? You're talking about soft as baby shit. I mean, it's like, come on. It's ridiculous. But that's not my topic. My topic is, which I think is really the hidden truth here, that nobody has the Manscaped balls to say. And so I'm going to say it, okay? And here's what it is. We don't need the top three pick because we don't have anywhere to put that top three pick. Our Woo! Players at every position are so strong. This is a hot take, baby. Woo-hoo! We are so strong. Like, who are you going to take? You're going to take a point guard and you're going to sit D'Lo? Or like, is that what you – no. You're going to take the dude from USC? Who are you going to sit? Jaden McDaniels? Like, that, speaking of another dude who can do no wrong, and rightfully so. So it's like, we don't need the top three pick. We are set. We just need to mature, grow under our bodies, keep molding together, and we're going to let Golden State get whatever pick they are. They're going to blow it anyway because we now have a history of them blowing picks. I'll go on the record for that. They don't know how to draft, so they're going to blow whatever pick it is. We're going to be done, and we're going to move forward. And I'll leave you with this. Is there anybody – I don't care what pick they get. Is there anybody in the state of Minnesota that follows the Timberwolves that would want to see one more millisecond of Andrew Wiggins on this team this year?
No.
Hell no. I don't care what he does. Nobody wants to see that nonsense. There is not enough first-round picks I would have added to the D'Lo trade to get rid of that sack of nothingness. Have a good day.
Well, you wrapped it up. By the way, did you see Steve Kerr recently called Andrew Wiggins Mr. Consistent?
He is. Yeah, he's real consistent.
He's very consistent. And you know what? I appreciate people who use words as they are meant to be used. Andrew Wiggins is eminently consistent. He gives you nothing every night.